I think that's kind of a good prayer. What do you guys think? I thought there was some insight there in prayer, and we're talking about prayer. That might be a little thing to look at. Glad you guys are here with us this morning, here with me. I appreciate you. You know, I always think, you know, there's a lot of good churches out there, and you guys chose to be here. I really appreciate that. Appreciate you being a part of what God's doing here. And I'm kind of excited. We're having a great time talking about prayer. And if you remember what we're talking about and why we're talking about prayer is that's we started out because it's not really a discipline that we have as Christians. It grows out of that relationship we have with Christ. And there's a movie coming out, and we're going to all go as a church. We're trying to get 200 people as a church to rent the whole theater. And we've done that, and we're ready to go to the show the 29th. Am I right? 29th at 3:30. We're going to go to Brandon Theater. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, you need to talk to Stephen, or you want to get tickets, you need to let Stephen know. I don't know how many we got left, but it's going fast. And so make sure you're a part of that. There's a great movie on prayer, and I just want to encourage you to be a part of it. I had the opportunity already to see it, and if you haven't had a chance and you're going to get a chance, you're going to be really blessed if you see this movie with us. And we're going to have a great time. So I thought what it would be nice, at least here's what I want to hear. Maybe this is just me and my ego. You know, here's what I want to hear. I want you to come to these services these next few weeks as we're getting ready for that movie. And then you'll go see that movie and you're going to go, well, that's what Gary was saying. You're going to say, well, see, they're talking like Gary does. See, you're going to see how smart I am. That's what I'm after here, all right? You know, because we've been talking about prayer and the dynamics of prayer. And this is our third message in the series. And if you remember, we began with the fact that, you know, we can have those hit and run prayers is what I've called. You know, that kind of attitude of prayer all the time, that we're just going around and we're about things and something flashes across our mind and we just take it to God right then. You know, we just have, you know, God, you reminded me of so-and-so, would you please be with so-and-so? Or God, I need this right now, it's this situation and I need this. And I call those hit and run prayers. It's just kind of like that attitude. But I said in that first series, you not only need those hit and run prayers, but you need those consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayers. Remember that one? That we need that time that we pause, that we stop, and we spend a little more time with God, and we're consistent, and we're persistent about it. And sometimes it's sleepless, and we just spend that time with God that we just, I'm not going to get up, God, until you do something. And we kind of looked at that. But last week, I kind of went over this idea that I think some of us have, when 96% of Americans pray, they probably pray what I called last week those drive-through prayers. Remember those drive-through prayers? You know, you just kind of pull up to God, and it's like, well, God, I need 2 forgivenesses. I need 3 blessings financially. God, I got 1 regret. All right, God, I'll see you at the next window. You know, I think sometimes we pray like that, you know. It's like, you know, God, it's just here, I'm driving right through, and I told you last week that doesn't work, all right? Prayer doesn't happen that way, or at least it's not going to feel that way. And I challenge you that you need to spend time with God, and we called it commune with God, that you need to abide with God. And that's what it really feels like, you know, when you're sitting there in God's presence, you know he's listening. You know he's heard you. It's went beyond the ceiling. You know those times when you just feel it just didn't go anywhere? You know, you just weren't with God. You were there, but you weren't with him. We kind of talked about that last week. This morning, I kind of want to move into kind of like, why do we pray? What's that reason behind our prayers? Because Jesus said it this way. If you got your outline, Jesus said it this way. Remember the disciples said, teach us to pray, and he goes like this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I think he's given us a reason to pray there. I think he's given us the why should I pray, you know. And so as I looked at that, I'm not looking just at the how, but the why. Why do I pray? Because I pray in the name of God, in the name of a holy name, a sanctified name, a name that is set apart. I'm praying to God. That's why I pray. Well, why should I pray to God? And they use that name. And then we turn to the Old Testament, and we find this little phrase here. Some of you may recognize this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless that taketh the name in vain. Anybody recognize where that comes from? That's one of the Ten Commandments. All right, you guys. It's one of the Ten. We're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I don't use God's name as part of my four-letter words? You know, kind of like tag on to some foul language, some curse words. So if I just don't use God's name in a curse word, I'm okay? Is that what it means? What about when somebody, you know, you're talking about the man upstairs? How does that fit? You know, he's the man upstairs. Or I still remember a conversation I had with somebody years and years ago, and I hear the phrase every once in a while, that God's my friend, that Jesus is my friend. Well, I got news for you. If he's just your friend, there's a problem. See, I think when Jesus is setting this out, pray in the name of Jesus, he's saying something. See, names were important. Names had significance. See, we use names as a label. When I was naming my children, Laura and I were naming our children, although she was kind of out when I named the first one. She was a little out. And we had talked about names, and, well, what name are we? Just Jennifer. Then she didn't even like the way I spelled it. But I wanted names when I was labeling my kids, because labeling our kids, I wanted names that they could have as a child and as an adult. Jennifer was Jenny, Amanda was Manda, Jeremiah was Jer. And just make sure you understand, Jeremiah wasn't named really after the Bible. Some of you may know Jeremiah was a... See, that's where Jeremiah got his name, all right? Yeah. But we give these names, you know? But for the Hebrews, names were significant. You know, I kind of thought like this. You ever see a movie when they had Indians or another culture and they took a picture of somebody and they really felt like, well, you stole their soul? Anybody ever seen something like that in the movies or anything like that? Well, that's kind of what a name was to them. A name was kind of like that soul, that character, that being. And so if you look into the New Testament and you get to that time now, they waited a long time to name their children. 8 days, you know, circumcision time. You know, read it. Jesus was named 8 days after he was born. You know, they wanted a name to mean something, a name that stood for something. It was more than just a label they hung on somebody. You know, and they really paid it, and they changed names. You know, I like reading the Old Testament. You read the book of Ruth. Anybody ever read the book of Ruth? It's in the Old Testament, just if you know. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. All right. And so her name meant, I think it kind of meant pleasant. But her life wasn't pleasant. So you know what she did? She changed her name to Myra, which means bitterness. Yeah. And they did that. If you read the book of Hosea, anybody read the book of Hosea? You know, they had some children in there. I don't know about you, but how would you like to have the name, "You're not mine"? "Lo am I, you're not my people." You know, or "Lo, lo am I, you're not pitied." Well, you go through life like that. Oh, "You're not pitied." Yeah, I can see why. You know, see some teasing going on there. You know, but names were significant. Paul wasn't Paul. Paul was, anybody remember what was his name? Saul. See, names stood for something. Name wasn't just, don't take the Lord's name in vain. I think he's saying more than just, watch how you use his name. I think he's saying, listen, there's a character behind that. There's something behind that name. There's someone bigger than that name. And so when Jesus is saying here, teaching us to pray in the name of God, I think he's saying, go beyond just a label. Why do I pray? Because I want to tell you, the name of God gives me reasons to pray. You know, if you've been around the church very much, or you've been in God's Word very much, you know God had many names. Anybody with me? You know, there's numerous names for God in the Scriptures. And as a matter of fact, if you have a Bible, most of the time your Bible is not going to have the name of God, just to give you a heads up. Most of the time your Bible is going to use the word Lord instead of the word Yahweh, because they would not pronounce the name of God. And Yahweh was that name when Moses came. Anybody remember Moses? Moses stands before that burning bush, and had that conversation with God. And he says, well, who am I going to say sent me? And he said, Yahweh, I am that I am is sending you. I am sending you. He's saying, I am the God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am Yahweh. I'm God. Why do I pray? Because I am praying to a God who is the same, who's never changed. I'm praying in the name of a God who has character, who moves mountains, who creates a world, who sustains life, who blesses, and yes, even curses, okay? You know, I'm here with Yahweh. You know, and that's who I'm with. I'm with Yahweh. And then we have the name, you know, then maybe you see this name Jehovah. Anybody ever see the name Jehovah? You know? Well, Jehovah's Yahweh with the vowels, just to give you a hint. See, the Hebrews wrote, they didn't put vowels by the word. You just knew what the vowels were that went there. You know, you didn't have to know the vowel went there. Just so you know, if you really look at Hebrew lettering, except for word letters that go together, every other letter is a vowel. Because they'd put a little mark above and below. And so what they did in order to get Jehovah, you know what they did? They took the name Adonai, and we're going to look at that one in a minute, and put it with Yahweh, put the vowels from Adonai with Yahweh, and you get Jehovah. Yeah. And what they're saying is, I am God. I am the creator. I am the sustainer. I am God. So how does this play out in our prayers? That's what I wanted us to think about this morning. Why is it important to pray in the name of God? Why is it important for me to remember to pray? Because see, I think it answers both the question of how and why. See, I think as I look at the name of God, it tells me how I should pray. And it tells me why I should pray. You know, why should I pray to God? Why should I go to God? Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever asked you to do something you couldn't do anything about? Yeah. Anybody ever raise kids? You know, they want you to do this and you're, I can't do that. You know, move this mountain. You know, go buy me this car. It's graduation. Come on. You know. And you're, yeah, I can't, you know, there's things I can't do. Well, see, we're looking at God. And we're asking a God who is I am, who can do all things. So what I did this morning, I just want you to look real quick at six names of God. I want to look at six names of God that tell us why you should go to God and how. All right? The first name, if you're looking at your outline here, is the name Elohim. Elohim. Now, God's name, just to give you a hint, is El. Elohim is plural. Anybody know Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Elohim. Here's the problem. This word is plural. I thought we only had one God. I thought there's only one. Doesn't the Bible say, Deuteronomy 6 says, Behold, the Lord thy God is one. There's only one God, and yet here at the very beginning of the Bible, it's plural. Because you know what? There's a thing we call the Trinity. There's a thing that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's all wrapped up into one. It's not three gods, it's one God. And what he's saying is God is the strong one. Who created heavens and earth? Who created this world? Who formed this world? Who breathed into our nostrils the breath of life? Why do I go to God? Why do I pray to God? Because he is the one who created all this. He is the one who formed all this. He is the one who knew me before I was born. He's the one that breathed into my nostrils the breath of life. I go to Elohim, I go to God, the strong one, the creator, the sustainer of this world, and I go to him and I pray to him. The same God, the past, the present, the future. He's the God who is here in the midst of our world. He's the strong one. I like the way here that we have here in the Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of Elohim, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. And so I want to encourage you, why do we go to God? Why do I talk to God? Because he's the one that created it all. He's the one that formed it all. He's the one that sustains it all. Right now in Southern California, there's a thing going on called D23. None of you guys know what it is, but if you're a Disney fanatic, you know what it is. And it's all about Disneyland. And they're bringing out, I've been watching some of the YouTubes on this, and they're bringing out all the guys who created the rides and who created this stuff. Now, who knows that stuff? They do. You want to hear from the guy who built it, right? Anybody like riding Splash Mountain? Anybody? I see some hands go up there. The designer of Splash Mountain is Tony Baxter. If I want to talk about it, you know who I want to go hear talk about it? I'm going to go hear him. Now, when it goes to this world, and I'm going to talk to somebody about my life and about my issues, about my battles, about my struggles, about my heartaches, I want to talk to somebody who what? Who made this place. The one who sustains this place. The one who's in control of this place. I want to go to him. And so when we pray, we need to understand, why do I go there? Because he is Elohim. He's the creator, the sustainer of this world. How do I go there? I go there, hallowed be your name. Do you get the picture? I go to him, Elohim, when I pray. And so I put it this way. Praise his name. When you pray, praise his holy name. How does it affect your prayers? The gift of life. I shared, and I tell you all the time, I'll get frustrated with life, and I'll get whining. I get whining in my prayers. I'm beyond it. I do. And I tell you, I come down here, and I go in that room over here, and I start praying. But what happens when I'm praying, all of a sudden, I remember all my blessings. Because while I'm talking to God, it's just kind of like God sitting there saying, well, hey, don't forget about this, and well, what about this, and you know you got this, and it's like, oh yeah, God, I get it, yes, okay, thank you, God. You know, turns my whining into praise. Anybody? Yeah. That's that Elohim, the strong one, the sustainer, the creator who's there. So when you pray, with that character of God, one of that character of God is Elohim, the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Second one I put down here is Adonai. Kind of makes that D sound like a TH, Adonai. It's the Lord, it is master. The Lord is master is what that says. You know, Hebrew, it's talking about stewardship. It's talking about overseer. It's talking about a boss, maybe what word I would use today as we look at this. But he is the Lord of the individual. That he is Lord. See, this kind of, who's in control? I'm going to preach a series starting 2 weeks from today on hope. I don't know about you, but this world looks pretty out of control. And I feel America's out of control. Anybody? You know, I feel America's out of control right now. But the problem is, God's in control. And so I'm going to wrestle with that with you for the next few weeks after we finish this series on prayer. Because God's in control. He's the Lord. He's in control of this world. But there's a problem. God controls the world, but guess what? He gave me and you freedom. Am I right? I have freedom of choice. I can choose whether Jesus is Lord or choose not to have Jesus. Isn't that right? And that's what this is, Adonai is. When I'm praying to God, I am praying there because he is my Lord. Yeah, look at what it says. And Yahweh, and I said to Yahweh, Jehovah, that would be Jehovah, just so if you want to pronounce it, it would be called Jehovah because it has the vowels and everything there. You are my Lord, my Adonai. I have nothing good besides you. He is my Lord. One of the scriptures that stuck in my mind when I was in college, I had a great professor. I wanted to Google his name because I know he's passed away. It's been 30 some odd years since I was there. But I just enjoyed the guy. Matthew 7:21. Very powerful scripture that stuck in my mind when I was in college. It says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but him who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that verse has stuck in my mind since I was in college, because it's not a matter of saying Jesus is Lord. It is he Lord? You know, I can say a lot of things and not follow through. Anybody? You know? And Jesus must be Lord of my life. You hear me say this week in and week out. So you hear me talk about that invisible line. Remember that invisible line I talk about week in and week out? There's this invisible line that you got to come to a point in your life that, you know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. That's saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Come into my life and take control. Remember, that's a decision we have to make. It's not good enough to know that there's a God. That Jesus is God. That's not good enough. Because even the devil, you know, let me tell you something. Now, if I offend you this morning, hopefully it's going to make you change. If you're here this morning and you acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord, but he's not your Lord, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, you're just as good as the devil. Because the devils believe that. You're no better than the devil. You got to cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Heard a great sermon this week, and I'm going to preach it because the idea. Heaven is a perfect place. Everybody agree? Perfect place. Perfect. There is no sin in heaven, right? Everybody agree? There's perfect place, no sin in heaven. Now, if I die and go to heaven, that means what? Can I have any sin? Because if I have any sin, guess what? It ain't going to be perfect anymore. I got to cross that line, don't I? I got to cross that line. Because sin, heaven can't have sin. I'm going to preach a message on that Sunday because I really like the concept. That if heaven's a perfect place, and well, everybody's going to go to heaven, right? Doesn't everybody go to heaven? No. It's a perfect place. And imperfect people aren't there. I get in there because of grace. Because of God's mercy. Because he is my Adonai. You get the picture? He's my Adonai. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I put it this way at the bottom of your page. You can read at the and that point. It says, he is my God. He is my Savior. Is he? He is my Lord. He is my Savior. Is he? It's not good enough just to believe. That's, the devils believe that. You're just as good as the devil. If that's all you believe, you're just as good as the devil. You need to cross that line, and he needs to be my Lord and my God. See, we're not. I'm not going to go to heaven because, well, you know what? I was a pastor. Oh, man. You know? I went to Baptist college. I went and got a master's degree in divinity. Matter of fact, I went and got a doctorate degree. God, you got to give me a mansion. It ain't going to fly. It ain't going to fly. Well, God, I was baptized. God, I've tried and I've done the best I can. Ain't going to fly. He is my Lord and my Savior. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I've really messed it up. Would you forgive me for all that mess? Will you forgive me for all that garbage? And come into my life and take control? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take. He is Lord. That's what makes him Lord. Does that make sense? It's not a matter of, well, I believe the God. I never doubted there was a God. I do not remember a time in my life when I doubted there was a God, ever. I remember dragged to church. Didn't even want to go to church. Didn't even go to church. But I always knew there was a God. But it wasn't until I was 17 years old that he was my Lord, my Savior. See, that's my prayer. You see that? Why do I pray? Because he's my Lord and my Savior. That's why I pray. How do I pray? I pray to a Lord and Savior who sustains my life. He's my Elohim. He's my Adonai. Isn't that great? Why do we pray? Why should I pray? Because he's God. His character, his name. Here's the third one. Some of you may have heard this. Matter of fact, I think there's a song. Isn't there a song, Jehovah Jireh? Anybody? I think there's a song called Jehovah Jireh. And this one means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And if you're familiar, there's a story of an old man. And I can call it he's old because he was old. I better watch how I say that. When I say 90 years old is old, we got people, never mind. You know, that Abraham was old and his wife was well past childbearing age. And God had made a promise that you're going to have not just a child, but numerous descendants, right? And God made that promise to him. Look at what it says. Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use the names as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God's going to provide. God is a giver of life. God blesses life. Abraham, who I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 90 years old. Not even close, okay? But I don't want any more kids. All right? Anybody in my... I mean, I'm going to enjoy my grandkids, okay? I'm going to have fun with my grandkids. I am done raising kids. I can aggravate my grandkids when they come and watch me, right? They're just staring at me. Yeah? I can still remember it. And Laura and I talk about it. When we had our last child and we were able to start going out without our kids, it's like, we don't want any more. You know, we'd go out with Dan and Linda all the time, and our kids were their babysitters. You know, and they're still having kids. You know, it's like, I'm done. He's an old man. He's having God provide. Who's the giver of life? I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to tell you. Every life is a gift from God. Every life. Every child. I know we're having a big debate in America right now. I don't care what they say. Every life. I believe life begins at conception, folks. I believe life begins at conception. And I believe that is a gift from God. Because here's what I believe. I believe, because here's my understanding of God's word. If you read the Genesis story, it says, God breathed in the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. That's exactly what it says. And I believe God breathes into every life a soul. And that's from the breath of God itself. See, that's the God. He is the God who provides. He provides life itself. You know, when you're frustrated with life and you're at your wit's end with life, who's the provider of life? Who's going to carry you through that life? Who's going to sustain you in that life? Who's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon you in your life? It's Jehovah Jireh. You see the picture? Why do I pray? Because I go to a God who gives life. How do I pray? I go to a God who I call Jehovah Jireh, and he gives life. He provides. We read the rest of the Lord's Prayer, and he says, give me this day my daily bread. See, you guys know that one. He's going to provide my daily needs. He's going to provide life. He's going to sustain us. He is Jehovah Jireh. So here's what I put up this. If you look at that line, I put, ask God to provide. What do you need? He's the provider. You go to the one who gives life. You need a job? You need a new job. You need financial assistance? You have trouble at school, trouble at work? You going to college? What do you need? You got a wayward child? What do you need? He's the provider. Why do I go to God? Because he is the provider. See, Jehovah Jireh. We pray in the name of God, in the name of Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Got a picture? See, that's what I think what's so nice about reading God's word is God paints pictures. He's painting a beautiful picture with his names. Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah Jireh. Now, warning. Here's a warning. The rest of these names, I don't pronounce very well. All right? I go through college. I can still remember sitting in my first class when it was always fun. Then every year, I spent 3 years for my master's, and every semester when the new semester started, you would hear the chanting come from Dr. Aiken's room because you are chanting the Hebrew library, the Hebrew alphabet. And the kids would be chanting alphabet. I mean, just right on down the line, they'd be chanting the Hebrew alphabet because it's got like few letters. I think it's only like 22 letters in the Hebrew. We got 26. I can't remember all that. It's been a long time ago. So I still struggle pronouncing those Hebrew things, so don't take my pronunciation well. But I was encouraged as I did the research for this, because they were saying, even when we pronounce Jehovah, we don't even know if that's the right way. Scholars don't even know if that's the right way we say Jehovah. They don't know if we're supposed to do Adonai or Elohim, or they don't know where to get the vowels. So it's like, okay, good. Then it doesn't matter what I say. Yeah. But God's name has power in our prayers. Look at this next one. El Shaddai. See that better? That's not too bad. The Almighty God. The omnipotent, the all-powerful God, the God who is powerful. And I like to look at what it says here. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. I'm the Almighty God. You're an old man, but don't lose hope. Anybody need hope? Yeah. Anybody need grace? Anybody need mercy? How about this one? I think we neglect this one all the time. And how about love? Anybody need love? Just to be loved on? You know? To know that you're loved and that you matter? Everybody matters. You know? And I see this. As I look at this, is God Almighty. He can give life. He brings life, but He's sovereign. He's in control. He's that Almighty. Whatever's going on in your life, here's what you need to know: God's in control. I've been having fun. Like I said, I've been working on this next sermon series called Hope, and it's been fun for me as I've wrestled with. And just so you know, I'm going to preach two messages on personal hope, on you having hope yourself. Now, let me tell you what this is. You having hope in yourself. Anybody don't have hope in yourself? You know, I kind of feel bad about you. I got two messages on that. I'm going to have two messages on hope for our world and America, all right? You need to know, I have not lost hope. You know what? America's always, if you want to know, if you look at really look at history, America's always been screwed up, just so you know, okay? We've never got it right yet. That God's in control. And then I'm going to tell you that my last two messages are going to be, you know what the hope of the world is? It's called the church. Because we got the message of Jesus Christ, and it comes from nowhere. You know, you turn the news on today, you think they're going to, hey, Jesus is good. Praise His name. You think you can hear that on the news today, anybody? You know, we're the hope of the world. See, God is sovereign. God's in control. He's the Almighty. You know, you might feel your life is out of control, but let me tell you what, with God, it's never out of control. It may seem to be. It may seem all messed up. You may wonder, what in the world's happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I want to tell you something. God is Almighty. He is in the midst of your life. When He is your Lord and your Savior, He is in the midst of your life. And all things work together for good. Anybody? Didn't say it's good stuff. I got a lot of bad stuff that I don't want to over again, all right? That God is used for good. You know, I hate learning good lessons the hard way. Anybody like the hard school of hard knocks? Yeah. But God is sovereign. He is the omnipotent God. He is the all-powerful God. You know, I don't care who we elect as president. I'm going to tell you what, God's in control. They better watch out. So you know what that means? Guess who I need to pray for? Even if I don't like them. And I'm not saying I don't like our president, but even if I didn't, I'd still pray for him, right? Yeah. We need to pray. This is what it's all about. We need to pray. Look at, I like this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. See, you want to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You want a cool breeze. You know, it's getting hot out there. You know, I walk home from here all the week. I walk back and forth. And you know what? I try to walk in the shade. Because you get it in the shade, and it's cooler, isn't it? And especially when there's a breeze. You know, go walk down that side of Covert when the sun's finally going down, and they got the breeze blowing down Covert Road, and you're in the shade. It feels a lot better, because when you get in the sun, it's like, oh, man. That's what God's saying. Come to the shade. Come to the Almighty. See, our prayers. Bring your prayers to the Almighty. Come to the shade of God. He's sovereign. He hears your words. He cares for you. He's the all-powerful. And so I put it this way, at the bottom of that one, that says, ask God for the impossible. Are you asking God for the impossible? I think most of our prayers are small compared to what God could do. All right? Do you hear me? I think most of us pray these little prayers because we're, you know, because that's the world we live in. And we got this Almighty God, how are we going if they'd only ask? If they'd only ask. See, I think God wants to do more. I think the Scripture says that God wants to do more than we can ever imagine. Isn't that what the Scripture says? He's the Almighty. Will you ask God for the impossible? Will you ask God to, whatever seems impossible in your life right now, that situation, that circumstances, that family issue, whatever it is, that financial burden, whatever it is, will you ask God for the impossible? Will you ask El Shaddai, the Almighty, for the impossible? Look at the next one. Jehovah Shalom. I'm getting pretty close to these. If you're going to notice, I didn't really pick the ones that I couldn't pronounce. So just in case you want to know, I only got one that I wasn't really sure with. Yeah, Shalom. Everybody knows Shalom means peace. All right. So this is the Lord of peace. He's the God of peace. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not talking about simple peace with the absence of war. I'm talking about an inner peace. Anybody, inner peace? Anybody need that inner peace? You know, a well-being peace, a peace of health, a peace of safety, a peace of security, you know, that well-being, whatever it is, that peace that only God can bring. Look at what it says here in Gideon. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. He's the God of peace. You just need that place where you can pull aside, that place where you can just set, and the world is crashing around you. I've told you the illustration I love the most. I've said it over and over again. I'll use it many times over. The king that had the contest for the most peaceful picture. Some of you remember that picture? This king gave a contest in his kingdom. Paint me the most peaceful picture you can paint, and I'm going to judge the pictures. They bring all these pictures and set these pictures before the king. And as he's looking at all these pictures, he picks two finalists right here. And one is this doe, this beautiful deer grazing in a meadow. The moisture rising off the ground, this deer just grazing in the meadow. The other is this crashing waterfall, just crashing, thundering down. The moisture just spewing up as it hits the rocks below. And they're looking at these two pictures and they're looking at the king, these just opposite, what a contrast. This deer in the meadow and this crashing waterfall. And they finally ask the king, and he chooses the crashing waterfall. And they're going, how can you choose that crashing waterfall as a peaceful picture, as a picture of peace? And here's this deer grazing in the meadow. And he said, now look at the picture. Look at the picture closely. And as he says, you look in the picture and look in the middle of that waterfall. In the middle of that crashing waterfall is a branch. Under that branch is a nest. And in that nest is a bird. And he goes, now that's peace. When everything's crashing around you and you can sit in the nest of God, there's peace. I thought that's good, isn't it? You know, that's peace. That's the peace that God wants to give us. Our lives are crashing around. Anybody? You know, anybody busy? Financial burdens? Family struggles? Issues? Battles? Crashing all around us? And yet there's a God who sticks his hand out to hold us up with peace. Peace. Jehovah Sabaoth. Shalom. The God of peace. Let's look real quick at this next one. And like I said, I can't pronounce this one. Jehovah Raha. That's how I'm going to say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I wanted to wrap up with this one. The Lord is my shepherd. 23rd Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He'll lead me. I'll lay down in green pastures, not on brown grass. Anybody got brown grass right now? That's what he said. I'm going to lay down in green pastures. I'm not going to lay down on that brown, rough stuff. You know, he's going to lead me with his staff and his rod to guide me and protect me. He's going to walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll never leave me nor abandon me. He's my shepherd. See, do we get that picture of God that he's our shepherd? I like how Jesus describes this because he calls himself the shepherd. Look at what he says. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. All right? The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. He's in the front. He's out there in the front. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I got two things here I want to make sure you notice in this. He knows our name. He knows your name. You may be in life right now. You may be sitting here going, it is crashing around me. My life, my family, my finance. I don't know what it is. It's just crashing. It is just falling apart. It's falling apart. My life, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where to turn. Turn to the shepherd. He knows your name. I love that song. We sang it here. He knows my name. Think about it. He knows you are known by God. Now, Obama doesn't know my name. Jerry Brown, Governor of California, he don't know my name. Yeah. I always liked it when one of our principals at the school, I am on the school board, all right? Now, you know, I set the policies. I give direction to the school. I'm on the school board. And I walk onto the campus over here, and one of our principals goes, where's your name tag? Do you know I'm the one that hired you? Yeah. Did that matter? No. You know? My name. You know what? God knows your name. You don't need a name tag. He knows your name. But I want you to hear the last part of that says, do you know his voice? Do you get that? He knows your name, and his sheep know his voice. Do you know the voice of God? When he is my Lord and my Savior, I know his voice. You get the picture? He's the shepherd. He knew them, and they know him. Do you know him? Is he your shepherd? I put it this way at the bottom of your page. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. What a picture. Think about that in our prayers. You see the picture he painted with this? The names of God in our prayers are powerful. Here's a bunch of other names. I'm just going to rent that just so you see these real quick. If you look at the first one, it says Jehovah Nasi. Nasi. It's going to come up in a minute. All right. It's not on your paper. Yeah, because I didn't put it on your paper. I could keep going. It's already been like 35 minutes, 40 minutes now, and I could keep going. You guys don't want it, right? The Lord is my banner. We got Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. What's next? We got Jehovah the Lord your sanctifier? I have no idea how to say that one, guys. That's why you didn't get that one in the sermon, all right? We got Jehovah, again, Tessadene. I've heard that one, but I can't remember. The Lord is our righteousness. And the last one I put here, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. See, names of God. Think about our prayers. God's character in your prayers. Why do I pray to God? Because he is Elohim, because he is Adonai, because he's Jehovah Jireh, because he... Why do I pray to God? He is the Almighty. Why do I pray? He's the one that gives life. Here's some Greek ones. Let's show out some Greek. I know Greek better than I knew Hebrew. Hebrew was really hard for me. Some Greek word is Theo is the first one in Greek. And that'll come up in a minute too. Yeah, we'll get Theo up here in a minute. And then there's also Kyrios, which means Lord. And the last one is Father. You know, Father is only used 15 times in the Old Testament. That's it. 245 times in the New Testament. He is called our Father. God's our Father. I'm going to ask you this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our prayers are based on who God is and not on us. It's not based on how good I am. It's not based on all my accomplishments. Not based on some degrees I can put behind my name. My prayers are based on him and his name. The Almighty, the righteous, the shepherd, the peaceful. It's him. How are your prayers today? Are you one of his sheep? I put it this way at the bottom. I will call upon the Lord. Wait a minute. I didn't say the Lord, did I? Why don't you circle that word my? Why don't you circle that word my there in that last? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? He is Lord. All right? I'm going to tell you, he is Lord, whether you like it or not. The only question is he yours? In your prayers, is he your Lord? Because it's not on you. That's what's so nice about praying. It doesn't depend on how good I've been today. Oh, I preached a good message, God, so bless me today. Ain't gonna fly. It's based on his righteousness, on his glory, on his majesty, on him and the sovereignty of God. Are you a child of God? My Lord, my God, when I pray, my Father who art in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you want to be our Father. That your desire is to love on us, to care for us, and to be with us. Now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning and you know, there's battles going on in your heart, frustrations, maybe family, maybe finances, maybe job, maybe school, I don't know. Do you need the strong one? Do you need a master? Do you need somebody to provide? Do you need a touch from the mighty God who can do the impossible? Do you need a peace? Do you need a shepherd? If you need one of those, would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the arms that lifted up, the hearts of life that know that our prayers aren't based on us, and I come in your grace, Lord, to touch these hearts. You know their names, and you know the reason behind the lifted up arm, the raised up hands. You know their hearts. And Lord, we want to hear your voice in their lives. So you touch them from above, Lord. You touch that pain. You touch that hurt. You touch that need. You are the strong one. You are the mighty one. You are the Almighty. Nothing's impossible with you. Bring peace, Lord, where peace is needed. Bring wisdom where wisdom is needed. Bring strength where strength is needed. Lift them up where they cannot explain what's going on, but they know they dwell in the hands of a Father who loves them. Strengthen hearts, encourage lives. In Jesus' name, amen.